Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Happy Throwback Thursday, everybody.
Oh, it's that time of the week again, ladies and gentlemen. It's Throwback Thursday.
I hope you're all enjoying your quarantine to the best of your ability.
Have you gone down that rabbit hole of that one composer you always wanted to listen to? Have you listened to all of Rodgers and Hammerstein's catalog? I mean, I have many. So I'm a person who likes to have many different threads going. And then I choose which thread I want to actually enjoy on that day. So my lifelong thread, to be honest, is to listen to every cast album in order that they existed.
Every cast album that ever existed?
Yeah. And I've been doing it for the last 15 years, and I go off and on, and it goes.
Wait a minute.
And I've never actually talked about it in real life. I've actually never spoken about it out loud.
How have we been doing this for 5 years, and this is the first time I'm finding this out? So wait, well, my mind is blown. As the young kids say, I am shook.
Yeah, it was a real passion project, especially back when I was single and working all the time. So when I was touring with you know, we're talking 14 years ago. I was 25, 26, 27, 28. So
like
I was. He looks so good. So I really wanted to, but I was very specific with my parameters, and I really wanted to listen to every cast recording that was. Of course, an original Broadway cast recording. So, you know, and castalbums.org was my resource, as is, of course, IBDB and other places. And yeah, I wanted to listen to every cast recording order. So I started, but I didn't start with, you can't start with Oklahoma because, you know, while that was the first commercial, Decca produced that to be a cast recording and make money. There are plenty of recordings of shows with the original cast with some of the orchestrations. Cradle Will Rock is, and I actually wanted to talk to you about this today because it's not my favorite thing, but Rob, I am deep in a Mark Blitzstein rabbit hole that is so deep and I am so drowning in it and it's so amazing and magical. Mark Blitzstein, I think, was the Michael John Lacusa of 1935, 36, 37, 38.
I don't disagree with you.
I think he wrote a musical play. He called Cradle of Rock a musical play. Much has been made of the famous opening night. And if you don't know it, just Google Cradle of Rock and read
it. Or watch the movie. There's a movie about it.
I just watched it 2 days ago. I know. It's so good. Tim Robbins directed it and started and Hank Azaria, all these people. So, true story. I mean, it was beautiful. But Mark Blitzstein, what he was doing, what he was creating for the theater, I'm at the start of it. I'm in the start of research, but I really want to research his influences, his work. I don't think anyone was doing what he exactly was doing. I don't think anyone was doing theater the way that he was trying to figure it out. And the way it's much like I think of Mozart, you know, I think that if Mozart showed up in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure and came to America today and was on Broadway or even 1965 showed up and they walked out and Mozart was there, Mozart would be like, guys, this is exactly what I'm talking about. The music tells the story of what's going on.
I love this.
Like, I really believe that. So I think Mark Blitzstein in the 1930s, you know, I think he was truly at the forefront of this. And of course he was friends with Kurt Weill and Bertolt Brecht and all these, you know, players in this idea of theater and what it could be. They were sort of the bridge. And I think Mark Blitzstein was the next step along the way, which, yes, we have Sondheim, we have all these other people. But in 1937 or 36 or whenever you want to talk, this man wrote this show, Cradle Will Rock, and it rocks my world. I cannot get over the music and the lyrics and all of it. What's your favorite thing?
Oh my God. Well, first of all, my favorite thing was trivia on Saturday.
Rob, that was so much fun. We raised some money.
We raised $350 for the American Association of Community Theaters. And we are doing it again this weekend, Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern. And this time the theme is the Broadway musicals of the 1980s. The Broadway musicals of the 1980s.
It's the dark period.
No, oh my God. You know, this is the first time I was like, I have to cut categories because I had so many categories and I had so many ideas for things. And they're not going to be seen and I'm so upset about it. But folks, it's on Saturday. It's at 8 p.m. All of the money this week is going to the Society of Directors and Choreographers Fund. That's the union that represents directors and choreographers and their emergency relief fund for the directors and choreographers who were put out of work by COVID. And I'm going to be honest with you, I'm hearing a lot of theaters that are telling some people, directors and choreographers, because you didn't get the show to opening, we're not paying you. So some people...
No way. You know,
a lot of my friends were telling me this, and I was like, I can't even imagine. So this emergency fund is going to help them out a little bit. So please join us. If you want to find out how to play along, we're on the information's on Instagram, and the information's on Twitter and our Facebook, and you can take a look there. But once again, it's going to be on Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It goes for about an hour and 10 minutes or so. There's a prize to be won, and it's a fun time. It's fun, and it's also, like I've said before, go ahead.
No, you.
I was going to say, for all of our wonderful, loyal listeners who've been with us since the beginning, from the first one with Randy Graff, my God, you are able to see one another and communicate with one another and, you know, chat with each other. So I think it's a lot of fun. I hope you'll come and join us. And it always goes to a good cause. And that's the most important thing. So please join us on Saturday. That's it.
That's it. I quite agree. And Rob is so good with, I'm at the piano and I'm giving
He's
you guys
good.
Some, serving up some music. Rob's giving some amazing anecdotes. We try to like just throw in some little odds and ends, you know, if things have come up over the year and now with
yes.
the 80s, I can imagine Rob, we're going to have some, a lot of crossover.
Some.
This ain't the 30s,
no,
you know, but we,
this is exciting folks.
Yeah,
it's
we're
going to
have some fun crossover. So we're going to have some anecdotes to share with you. And of course we always want to keep it fresh. And if you are a diehard fan or maybe a little new to the information, it's still hopefully entertaining no matter what. It doesn't matter whether or not you know who wrote Wind in the Willows in 1984.
I don't know. All I know is that it starred Nathan Lane. That's all I know.
It was William Perry and Irene Dunne. No, it's fine. It's all good.
Well, that's good, Kevin. Maybe we'll get to that at some point in your
book. My
first
show I did in Elmira, New York was they wrote that show.
Yes.
The Mark Twain drama. Okay, keep going.
I remember. Oh, sorry. So anyway, come join us and we hope you'll have a good time. The 80s are going to be amazing. And by the way, when Kevin says he provides music, Kevin actually sang this time, which is something he never does. Seriously, you never do it on the podcast. Well, there's not really a way to sing. And so he sang, and it was wonderful, and I was very happy. That was
the ivories, sang a little tune.
That was a favorite thing last week. But now my favorite thing for this week, well, as you know, because we're in quarantine, we have a lot of downtime on our hands. I am addicted to Amazon Prime because they have an amazing selection of stuff that goes up there. And a lot of it is theater-related. And I found a documentary on there. Actually, I shouldn't say it's a documentary. Let me go back. In 2006, the wonderful character actor, Charles Nelson Reilly, who we know from Skyscraper and Bye Bye Birdie and Butter.
Hello, Dolly,
How to Succeed. And of course, his wonderful game show career as, you know, a panelist on The Match Game, did a one-man show. He'd actually done the show in 2000. And the one-man show was called Save It for the Stage, The Life of Reilly. And it was a three-hour long extravaganza that in 2006, they had enough money to go back, have him redo it and film it. So they could preserve it for record. The version, though, that we see on Amazon Prime is not called Save It for the Stage, The Life of Reilly. It's just simply called Life of Reilly. And the person who filmed this actually integrates archival footage and a lot of stuff that was not in the original production. So it's kind of a one-man, it's like his one-man show, but put through a cinematic lens. It was filmed, it was supposed to be filmed over 3 days. But unfortunately, he got sick with pneumonia and could only do 2 days. And this is the last time he ever appeared live on a stage. And that's what they filmed. And he comes out and he says, I'm so happy you all could join me for the twilight of an extraordinary life. And you go, for someone to have that sort of self-awareness of where they are in the world is kind of moving. If you know Charles Nelson Reilly as a comedian, first of all, he's one of the funniest actors I think that ever existed. He's brilliant on game shows and stuff like that. And that's sort of how he was known to people, as being the funny guy on The Match Game sitting next to Brett Summers. But he was an incredible musical theater actor who took acting classes with Uta Hagen. Some of his classmates included like Jerry Stiller, Anne Mara, Charles Grodin, Jack Lemmon, like the list of people, because he names it in the documentary, of who he was in a class with, is like a who's who of acting. It's just so, so incredible. But he was also one of the most brilliant directors that had ever worked. And he was also a massive fan of opera. If you want to really geek out, YouTube Charles Nelson Reilly and Madeleine Kahn. And they're on an opera panel together discussing their favorite operas, which is like so... you wouldn't even think of that. But the stories, first of all, he's probably one of the best storytellers I've ever seen in my life. And I was looking up some of the reviews of the show, and John Simon, who, as you know, is not the easiest person to please, said that this show is, and what the way Nelson Reilly speaks, is worthy of Balzac, Dickens, or Twain. And I could not agree more. He tells a beautiful story in there about Hal Holbrook, if you know who Hal Holbrook is.
Oh, yeah.
Right, he does Mark Twain everywhere. But he tells a story of how Holbrook, this little side job as Mark Twain, became his calling card in life. And he's telling the story, and he somehow was able, and I don't want to give it away, he relates it to how every actor should have a dream. And how you make a dream come true. The show is very, very moving. I watched it because I'm like, I want a couple of laughs. He had a very hard life growing up, not a very loving mother. There was a tremendously tragic circus fire that happened where like
a circus fire.
Well, like he was in the circus as a kid, and like 126 people died because the roof caught, the tent caught fire.
Oh my gosh!
And he goes into that, but because of that, he's so traumatized. He doesn't actually. The only way he can be in the theater is to be on the stage. He can't sit for long periods of time because he's so traumatized by that event. Wow. All these things about him you didn't even realize, but the way he tells stories is absolutely genius. And one of the things I thought was so interesting, especially as a teacher, and this really stuck with me and I want to pass it on, and I'm hoping if you teach as well, it'll come to you. But he was saying at the end of the document, at the end of the one-man show, he goes, I go out and I do a lot of actor coaching, or I go out and I do master classes, and all the students immediately look at me and go, why is the guy from the game shows giving me acting lessons? And he goes, but when I come down and I sit in front of you, he's like, I don't sit alone. I sit with my first acting teacher. I sit with Hal Holbrook. I sit with Neil Simon. I sit with this. I sit with that. And he goes, so I don't sit alone. And I thought to myself, well, that's it. That's it. Like every time you feel like, oh my God, like, what can I offer someone? You think of all the things that have been offered to you and how that is going to be a vessel to somehow educate these individuals. So it's wonderful. It's on Amazon Prime. It's free. It's called Life of Reilly. He's in his 70s, I believe, and God bless him, the energy is never flagging. And only a few months after this was completed, he passed away. So I think it's a really nice final encapsulation of this incredible man's career. Of course, it's hysterical. It's hysterical, but just watching him work and watching someone who has such a self-possession of just being up on a stage by himself and having an audience eating out of the palm of his hand with nothing more than sheer honesty, it's absolutely incredible. So my favorite thing this week is Life of Reilly. What's your...
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com.
Great expectations.
The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Oh, I had no idea that that existed, and I love Amazon Prime, and I'm so thankful that you brought that up. Just really exciting. Thank you for that.
It's great. I cried like a baby like 90 times today.
I can't wait. Oh, boy.
What's yours,
what,
buddy?
What a legacy. Okay, so I'm going to take us to the 1980s theme. I
love that. I love
this
that.
This is something that, and it's funny, Rob, because I was introduced to this movie like a decade ago. An ex of mine, ex-fiance of all things.
The Chorus Line movie, I'm getting up and I'm walking out of this conversation.
No, I don't think you know this movie. I don't think anybody knows this movie, Rob. And so what I want to say was that in my recollection, I thought maybe this will be a good favorite thing because it was such a weird thing I watched back in the day, you know, when I was, you know, we were watching silly, campy shows. So I watched it again. And it holds up. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen. It's a movie from 1980. It's a movie. I mean, it was made to be a movie. It is made to be a musical. It was definitely riding on the coattails of Saturday Night Fever, the disco craze, the pop craze, that kind of thing. It was definitely a vanity project. I mean, the money came in, it was self-funded, so it was not like a studio production, that kind of thing. And I will tell you the title because I don't think anyone's going to guess it. This is a film that was called The Apple, and it's from 1980.
Oh, I've seen The Apple. Do you know the apple?
Are you kidding me?
Where they're dancing like in a mall, like an abandoned
in sequence.
Mall.
Yes, that's the showbiz number. That's show business. That's the show business number. Okay. Oh, God, love you. Oh, I love you, Rob. Oh, man, you kill me.
Oh, I've seen The Apple. Go ahead. Keep going, though.
Okay, friends. So the transition to this, my favorite thing is the fact that if you're on Amazon Prime and you're going to watch some Charles Nelson Reilly, switch over to the search, type in Apple, you're going to have to scroll down because there's a lot of apples and this one is not the top search. But let me tell you, friends, it should be because it is. As I was trying to preface this, I remember I was like, oh, man, is this good? Is this worth being a favorite thing? And then I watched
it.
In the first 20 minutes, I thought, well, it's I don't know. And then the movie kept going. And I was by myself. Sutton was asleep. My baby's asleep. Everyone's asleep in the house. And I was howling. And I was looking. It's that thing, Rob, where you look around the room. I don't know if you've done this before, especially with our little niche world we live in. I looked around the room and I thought, is no one here to enjoy this with me? And then, of course, I tried to, like, reach out to, like, my Twitter friends and you and other, but I can't tell you because this is going to be a favorite thing, so I don't want to give it away. It's Rob, okay, all right. So this is a movie that takes place in 1984, but in the movie, it takes place in the future. In the future, in 1980, is 1994. That's right, friends. 14 years later is the future. And it looks like it's the quote-unquote future in this film. So remember, this is a very low-budget film. It is a musical. Fun fact, the choreography is by Nigel Lithgow, who is So You Think You Can Dance. He is the British guy on the primetime series today. And this choreography, you guys... It's like the cheesiest, weirdest stuff you've ever seen. But this man had to put together production numbers. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. So The Apple, what is that? What is this about? It's 42nd Street. It's a couple from Moose Jaw, Canada, come to the big city. They don't say New York City, but it probably is, or it's LA or wherever they filmed it. It looks like they filmed in LA. They come to the big bad city. The innocent, sweet folk, folky, you know, different music, you know, group, and the city, the big bad city, the big bad, you know, the big bad industry, which the man's name is what's his name? Bugalo is the big industry guy, and he actually played a James Bond villain from Russia with Love. He literally looks like a James Bond villain, sings a rap song, and is a villain in this piece.
And
go ahead.
If I may, he pulls an Ann Miller, and what I mean by that is he never breaks eye contact with the lens of the camera. Am I correct?
He looks straight into the camera, and he looks he's got a weird goatee, and he looks like a creepy Bond villain. I don't know how else to describe him. He's a creepy Bond villain. And at one point in one song, they cut to him, and he's got sequins and his beard is bedazzled, and there is no holding back in this film. You have characters that are transgender, you have characters that are non-gender binary, but they didn't know to say that then. I mean, we're talking all different. Yes, go ahead.
Yes, yeah. No, I was going to agree with you. They're very progressive in this society.
Really, honestly. And so this couple comes to the city, and the industry wants to use them and make money off of them. And they get the girl, and of course it's drugs and sex, and that's the way of holding them. But the guy is like, no, I don't want any part of this. So he goes away, and then they seduce her, and she comes back, and then the whole movie is basically about, you know, him trying to get her back and, you know, her being successful and them making money off of her and all of that. And in the end, of course, they end up back together, and it's that kind of thing. But the numbers, friends, please, you have to watch this with a filter, I guess, is what I want to say. I don't want you to watch this.
That filter is marijuana or alcohol.
Yes. Thank you, Rob. I love you for that. Because or just saying to yourself, Kevin and Rob said to watch this, and it is not the greatest film ever made. However, I can still enjoy the effort made. I can enjoy the work being done, and I can enjoy the fact that there are, you know, some things to look out for. Some of those things to look out for. Oh, I don't know. You might look out for some of the dialogue, some of the horrible acting, some of the awkward transitions, some of the lyrics. But in that, the passion, the love, the trying to make this work. Now, fun fact, the director, after this actually premiered in 1980, they were at the Montreal Film Festival, and the audience halfway through the film started booing. And unfortunately, the director tried to commit suicide, but thankfully, one of the investors found him and called him off the ledge. At Paramount, the audience started throwing, they got a free, sometimes you go to see a film, you get like a little keepsake, and they got a cast recording with it, or a soundtrack, and they threw the soundtrack at the screen. Fact, it was the screen was damaged from the soundtrack being thrown at the screen. This was also nominated for one of the worst films in 1980. And you might say, Kevin, this is a horrible way to sell this film. No. They were all wrong, because just like Rocky, I want you to channel this. I've talked about Welcome to Whoop Whoop, that really weird Australian film that I watched. You could also talk about Center Stage, another like sort of very niche show. You could say Rocky Horror Picture Show, which was a flop at the time. It channels those kinds of films. They are the films for insiders, for people who understand what to look for. And that's what I want to say, friends. You know what to look for. Watch this film and be entertained by the effort, by the love, by the attempts, by the successes, by the failures, but by the whole thing. It is a wacky, and the fact that all this money was pumped into this, and they really did, they really did do this. They really did attempt to try to make this film and put it out there. If you had to pick numbers to look for, I think they're on YouTube. I didn't have time to look them up. If you want to look up some numbers to look at, I think the title number, I think, is the most important song to really analyze. It's called The Apple. It's a weird song where they talk about how poisonous an apple can be and what it can do to you and all of those layers that come with an apple. Show Business, though, you yes. remember, that's the one where the couple goes to meet the big music mogul for the first time. And the whole thing is shot in Germany. It's an American produced film, but they shot it in Germany. I'm convinced it's a German airplane hangar, or airplane, you know, some rundown airplane, you know, like JFK, like the you know, the old TWA terminal. But they they are in the waiting area, and they all have sequins on. They start singing a song about show business, and I was by myself, and I've seen this film before, and it's been 15 years, but I looked to either side of me as if to say, is this real life right now? Is this really truly going on? I could go through the different the 13 different production numbers that you're going to watch with this. There's so many things to look out for. I don't have the time to go through each one, you guys, but it's BB and Alfie really have a journey that they go on together, and I think it's really worth watching. First, and also the woman who plays BB, she actually went on to do a lot of really great things. I'm trying to look at my notes and I can't find her name. Catherine Mary Stewart is her name, and she went on to do a lot of film and TV. She was the woman, she played the love interest in Weekend at Bernie's in the 80s, but she's
oh my god,
this day she is still working. This was 40 years ago, but this was her first film, but her voice was dubbed. And I would like to say, I would love to get a shout out to the woman named Mary Hyland, who was the Marnie Nixon of this film. She was the woman who voiced her. Her voice is fierce. She's a studio singer and she sings the shit out of these songs. And also Miriam Margolyes is in this, the Professor Sprout from the Harry Potter films, and the nurse from the Romeo and Juliet, Baz Luhrmann, Romeo and Juliet. She plays the nurse. She's a very distinct type, and that you would know her when you see her. There are some really interesting people in this film. And the whole thing is, it is a wacky experience. Take an hour and a half out of your life. Enjoy yourself how you want and watch, because it is so wacky and weird, and it holds up if you watch it with the lens of entertainment. Watch it.
I think it's amazing.
Yeah. And so I want to watch The Apple, and I think you should too, especially to prepare your mindset for a 1980s themed trivia on Saturday.
Saturday night, folks, 8 p.m. But before that, you're going to watch The Life of Riley, and you are going to watch The Apple, because you are right, Kevin. Once you take a bite,
the hair,
stop.
The costumes, the makeup, the acting, all of it.
You know,
it
you argue that old lady from Grand Hotel. The acting.
I loved it. Are you going to go? When are you going to see it again? Well, my wife, she works in the area. I'll probably go see it again. We'll watch it maybe next week. I don't know. The week after. I don't know. She's busy. I don't know.
I loved it. This is great. So, folks, there you go. The Apple and The Life of Riley. And then please join us Saturday night for trivia. You can go onto our Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. You can find out how you can join in. It's a $5 suggested donation. And all of the funds are going to go to the Society of Directors and Choreographers Fund. Yay. All right. Till next week, folks.
We'll see you next week, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.